Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Matt George, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Look, Matt George, of course, host of the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll get into your new series that you're doing here in just a minute. But for those who are regular viewers of Matt George over here on D'Lo and Casey, we notice were you thrown out of the house already? You're in a different room. There's no Kings logo. There's no weird lighting. Like, what is happening here?
Wow, I'm getting emotional. You're
missing your banner already. Like, I understand, man. It's tough.
No. Wow, I did not expect that. No, I'm in the process of, wow, I need to drink some water. Jeez.
Why
dying on this. Start a deal on KC.
Hey, Matt, this is going to be great for ratings. If you got to die, do it now. We're on camera. Everybody's watching. Matt, take a breath. I know it's your first day in radio. I know.
Lord, I'm going to get a drink. Mark, my
let's
I need some McQueen in the Violet Fog. Hold
there,
on.
There you go. Let's let Matt go get a drink. He's having a tough time. Our man Matt just.
Oh man.
Nothing like a little death to spike the ratings here on D'Lo and KC. Matt literally gets up. Oh, poor Matt George.
Now he's.
Oh, there he's back. He's a new man now.
You know what it is? It's all the dust in the air from this renovation project I have going on here. So I'm glad that you noticed. So we're in the process of transitioning. It turns out when you have a baby, you need a nursery.
Oh,
and when you build a nursery, the space that was your wife's is no longer your wife's. So then your wife comes into your space. So my office is now our office. So we are in the process of repainting. So we've gotten half the room done. So everything that I'm looking at is done and lit and great. And everything behind me is not done and not lit and still great.
Just so you know, Matt, real quick. Sorry, Casey. Nothing's yours, bro. Just to be clear.
Especially like, now.
Yeah,
it used to be half mine. Now it's, what, a third? Not even? Probably
no.
Like a quarter?
No, Matt. None of it is yours. Oh. Just accept that now and keep it moving. None of it is yours.
Matt, are you painting the rooms?
I'm helping paint, but I've been given very specific areas. Like, I don't do edges. I don't do near windows. I don't do near the door. It's like, hey, see this massive surface of wall that you couldn't possibly screw up? Hey, paint this.
I love that Matt's being treated like a 10-year-old. Like, no, baby, don't do that. Don't just right here. Just take care of this part. I'll do the hard part. You do this here.
Here's your little brush. You just do circles over here in the corner and make sure you have all your fancy colors and mommy will handle the big girl stuff.
And most importantly, stay the hell out of my way. I know you've got a new pod series. You've done a couple of these. I've always found them really enjoyable. You've got a series coming up as part of the Locked On Kings podcast that you do on the 1999 Kings Jazz playoffs. What made you choose that one?
So I've been wanting to do, because I did during the lockout or the Kings hiatus because of the pandemic, I did a three-part audio documentary on 2002. Had a lot of fun doing that. So I didn't plan on doing another like series. I just wanted to do kind of like, hey, what playoff series in the past that isn't Kings Lakers would you like me to go back and revisit and look at and do an in-depth look on? And almost unanimously, and I didn't put out a poll, I just put it out there, and almost unanimously, all the responses are like 75% of the responses I got back on Twitter and over email was, hey, do 1999 Kings versus Jazz, 1999 Kings Jazz. I was like, I didn't remember that series being as important as it was, but many consider it to be like the birth and the dawning of the Kings becoming the greatest show on court, the first of their eight straight playoff appearances. So I went back and I started like rewatching these games and thinking, okay, how am I going to fit this and format this into an episode? And then I started paying attention to the context of like the regular season battles between those two teams, and then how much led into just the start of that season, how different the Kings were at that time. And I was like, man, I got to make this a series. I got to make this like a two or three parter at least. So I got G-Man on board too. So he's in every single episode, and it just became what it was. So I'm super excited about it.
That's awesome. Really cool, man. We had a question on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I said, what was one of my favorite, your top three favorite Kings games of all time? And game three, 1999, was on my list. Arco was just a madhouse for that game.
Yeah, I got lucky in being able to find every single playoff game from that series, which is only five, so it wasn't too hard. Game one was the hardest one to track down, which I understand why not too many people wanted to watch that game. It was ugly. Mm-hmm. But I even found the three regular season games, and I had to work with some people to find out how to get those to watch them, because all three regular season matchups that year, and you'll learn more about this in today's episode that literally just dropped, all three games went into overtime. And we're talking about two completely different teams, a established, like Malone and Stockton, well-oiled machine Utah Jazz team coached by Jerry Sloan. And then you have this Sacramento Kings team where they had eight or nine free agency signings that offseason. New head coach in Petrie, just traded for Weber and traded their best player in Mitch Richmond. Their starting point guard is this flashy rookie. Peja Stojakovic is playing in his first season, even though he was drafted 2 years prior because he spent two more years in Greece. Like, very new, very young team who likes to play flashy, who likes to score compared to grit and grind type defensive style back in the day. It's just two very different teams, and it turned into really the biggest rivalry. Like, we talk about Kings and Lakers, and rightfully so, but before Kings and Lakers, there was Kings Jazz. And someone might argue before Kings Jazz, there was Kings Sonics. But really, Kings Jazz was a lot more intense than I realized.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
That's fantastic. That's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts from. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can search Locked On Kings right now and hit the subscribe button. Matt does a great job with those storytelling type series, and it's a good time to do it as we're gearing up for training camp to begin next week. I know you've been on the calls the last couple of days to hear from Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, and Harrison Barnes, and I'm leaving someone out. De'Aaron Fox, for goodness sakes. Yes, of course.
Who cares?
That guy, yeah. He spoke. They all spoke. Anything really stand out from any of those four guys that you heard over the course of the last couple of days?
Nothing really. I mean, I don't know if I expected anything groundbreaking from this kind of press conference. Like, it's pretty crazy to think about De'Aaron Fox being almost 30 or more pounds up from where he was at the draft combine. So him talking about that, I really got a kick out of Tyrese Halliburton sharing that he and De'Aaron call each other fat. Like, they've been texting each other all offseason, say, hey, you've put on this much weight, you're fat now. And they'll go right back and forth. Like, it sounds like Tyrese has really been working on building relationships this offseason, as well as working on his game, and he shared that a lot. So that stood out. And then I had to ask De'Aaron about playing one-on-one with Davion Mitchell, mostly for my sanity, because I want to see it. And because of what Davion has said about Fox and Fox has said about Davion, we got a picture from training camp or from the practice facility of them working. I'm like, I need more. I need a video. Let me see these two playing one another. But I guess the biggest thing that stood out is how De'Aaron and Ty both talk about Davion not being a rookie. Like, he's a rookie, but he's not a rookie in terms of age and the experience that he's bringing in. And then I think Sean Cunningham asked Davion that, like, how does that feel for these guys to say that you're not a rookie? Do you feel like a rookie? And Davion's like, well, yeah, I feel like a rookie because I don't know anybody here and this is my first time in the league, but that's it. Like, it's just the confidence of that answer alone. So I like what I heard. Nothing negative.
That picture that the Kings put out of Davion and Fox locked up, looking like they're going one-on-one. Ooh-wee. I'm with everybody else. I needed to see that. I want to see what that looks like. They need to put the practices, the training camps on Patreon, OnlyFans, something. right? Because I want to watch. I want to see this. I want to see those two going at it. That is speed versus speed. That is talent versus talent. I want to see that. And it's competitor against competitor. That's what I want to see. I'd love to see some of these practices in training camp.
I know they're doing like their King's Fest pretty soon, which fans can go and get tickets. They're free right now, but you have to reserve ahead of time. And if we don't get some sort of one-on-one or some possessions between the two of them at King's Fest, the Kings are doing a disservice to their fan base. Like I shared, and it was kind of an exaggeration. It was like a typical Kenny Caraway going a little bit over the top, but there was some truth to it, which was like, I would almost pay money to watch those two play one-on-one. Like I think there's a lot of people in Sacramento, like if the Kings put out there, hey, De'Aaron Fox versus Davion Mitchell, one-on-one game inside the Golden 1 Center, game to 21.
It'd be packed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, hell, for the California Classic, how many people show up? I mean, it's like, hey, I'll pay $10 for a beer to watch those two go at it. Heck yeah.
It's packed enough you could probably sell the floor seats on the opposite side of the court that they're playing on. Just like you have the half courts, they're playing half court, you could sell the other half court for the overflow. Video, because the Kings are smart and the social media people for the Kings are really, really sharp. They know people want this. So this is now going to turn into like that 1992 Dream Team practice where it's you're going to start getting these exaggerated stories of like Davion Mitchell versus De'Aaron Fox at training camp. And like every player is going to be in on the gag and they're going to be overblowing it. Like they're going to be talking about how crazy it was and how they were, you know, they were playing to 10, but had to win by 2 and the score went to 50 and no one will tell you who went. And every time you hear the story, it gets more and more exaggerated. But there'll never be any video of it.
They're so good. They would do that for Davion versus Jamias Ramsey. They'd be like, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
When Davion took on Jamias Ramsey, boy, oh boy, that one was crazy.
It was out in Monte Carlo. Everybody was sitting around smoking cigars watching them play.
Kenny, I remember you talking not too long ago about like the reaction that Kings fans are going to give Davion when he has one of those defensive moments. Like I think you were talking about specifically, and we saw examples of this at the Golden 1 Center, and he got a great reaction. But what happens when, I mean, it's in Portland to open the season, but what happens if Davion tries to pick up Damian Lillard for full length of the court? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be in Portland, so the reaction from the fans there is going to be a little bit different. And also, I don't know if it's possible to pick Dame up and stay in front of him for that long, but I think Davion is certainly going to give that a shot. But I can't wait for that opportunity when the Kings do have, because it's almost like when the Kings have a solid defensive possession and force a shot clock violation, the place gets louder than when they score because it doesn't happen too often. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to the buzz in the building when you see Davion start to pick up a guy up full 48 feet or whatever it is, and you're, well, it's more than 48 feet, but you're, and you lean in and you just are paying attention to see what's going to happen, if he's going to pick a pocket or if a solid like star guard in the NBA is going to beat him. I can't wait for that.
Well, the other thing about it is, as we all know, because it's our job to cover and to figure out, you know, what the people want to hear. Kings fans are locked in. So they're going to be in on what it is we're looking for, if that makes any sense. There's not going to be too many people in that building that know if somebody tries to get past Davion, he stops him once, he stops him twice. They come back. The offensive player comes back to regroup to go again. They're gonna be hyped for that. Everybody's gonna be in on it. They know what they're looking for. And I'm with you, man. I think there's gonna be, let's not get full, somebody's hitting, you know, going for 40. The place is gonna get loud, but it's gonna get pretty loud for defensive stops and really good defensive possessions. Because number one, you got a guy in Davion Mitchell who makes it fun to watch defense. And number two, everybody knows that was the biggest Achilles heel for this team last season. And to see improvement in that is going to be something that's going to get people excited.
And it's not normal, right? It's just not normal here. So to see it is going to be one breath of fresh air. I hope it never gets normal. I hope it never gets like, oh, that's just what Davion does. He's just doing what he does. Nah, it's like, the Kings need someone like that. And not to steal the conversation in a different direction, but I know, speaking of Davion Mitchell, that you, Kenny, have talked a lot about on social media, and D'Lo, I don't know your stance on it. I know you're you guys have discussed it before, though, the idea of now Ben Simmons is back in the news and back in the conversation about a trade, and the idea of the Kings and Kenny, your unwillingness to give up Davion Mitchell in a trade involving Ben Simmons. And as much as I like Davion and as much as I'm excited to, I don't believe a trade's going to happen. So I believe we are going to be watching Davion absolutely body guys defensively. As much as I'm excited to watch that, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that idea, Kenny, of not wanting to trade a guy who has tremendous upside in Mitchell. But we're talking about trading for and acquiring a player that is all NBA defensive player, I mean, multi-time all-star, young too. I mean, all those accolades. Does Davion ever reach those accolades in his career that Ben Simmons has accomplished and I think can, at least defensively, continue to accomplish? That's crazy to me to think that the Kings wouldn't want to consider, or some wouldn't want to consider, giving Davion up in a Ben Simmons package.
Well, Matt, I talked about this a little bit earlier, and an all defensive team, yeah, Davion can do that. You know, defensive player of the year, I don't know, because he's, you know, a smaller guy. They usually, me and Damian and I, we took a look at this, and they usually favor big guys who are getting rebounds and blocks and things of that nature for the defensive player of the year. But he can definitely be an all defensive team, that's for sure. And one of the things that came about it for me is I'm just not a fan of the Ben Simmons does not play the type of basketball that I'm attracted to, so to speak. Whereas if I think about putting a team together and guys that I can go to war with, guys that I can go to a big game with, Ben Simmons doesn't fit that mold. I don't know if he's tough enough physically and mentally consistently enough. And the other thing that came about that is I can't trust Ben Simmons. I can't trust him to show up. I can't trust that he's going to get better. Regardless of, I'm not sitting here saying Davion's going to be a three-time All-Star and have the accolades that Ben Simmons has, but I have no doubt in my mind that I can trust that Davion Mitchell will do everything he can to get better and to show up and to reach the goals that this team has and this franchise has. I have no question in my mind. Ben Simmons, and once I keep saying it, people kind of brush it off. He says, I am what I am. People are like, well, he's only 25 and he can get better. And he told you himself, I am what I am.
But what he is pretty damn good for what the Sacramento Kings need. That's my thing, is I understand what you're saying about Davion and his willingness to put in the work to get better and do what the team needs him to do. Mm-hmm. But Ben Simmons does, right now, being what he is, what this team needs him to do. I guess that's my point, is I know what I'm getting in Ben. Davion, I'd like to know that, or I'd like to believe that what I saw in the summer league and how he was able to lock up some of the top guys in summer league is what he's going to be able to do at the NBA level for this Kings team. I just think it's a crap ton to put on the shoulders of a rookie compared to someone who has had success. And offensively, I know there are woes and issues with Ben's game, D'Lo, but at the same time, it's like, this Kings team, we know this Kings team can score. And that's why I thought it was interesting that Keith Pompey, when I was talking to him on Locked On Kings a number of weeks ago, when all this Ben Simmons stuff stirred up, he said he thought that the Kings were an ideal fit for Simmons because he doesn't have to be that kind of scorer that he has to be in Philadelphia, while also checking all those boxes and filling those needs for the Kings. So I'm not saying trade Davion or I want Davion out of here, but I would take Ben Simmons over Davion just for the proven commodity at this point.
I think both can be true. Being enamored with Davion Mitchell's potential and being enamored with what we think Ben Simmons is. Like you just said, well, we're acquiring Ben Simmons. We know what he is. Do we? Are we positive we know what we do? Do we know his? And I don't mean this in a way to make light of it at all. I'm being very genuine in this remark. Do we know his state of mind? Do we know what his state of mind, we could guess his state of mind going to the Los Angeles Lakers. We could guess his state of mind going to the Los Angeles Clippers or the Golden State Warriors. I think some of us feel like we could, in the same vein, guess his state of mind coming to the Sacramento Kings. And while Keith Pompey may feel like And I actually agree with Keith Pompey. Like, he may feel like the Sacramento Kings fit perfectly. And I think a lot of people think with the right deal, Ben Simmons fits on the Sacramento Kings. Does Rich Paul feel that way? Does Ben Simmons feel that way? Because one important thing about Davion Mitchell is not just his potential on the court, but Matt, you've listened to him. You've listened to him since he's been drafted. He's a guy who, you know, the day he puts on a Kings hat, he's talking about holding players accountable. He's talking about getting out there and being better defensively. He already knows the shortcomings of the Sacramento Kings minutes after he's drafted. He knows what he's going to be able to add here. He knows what he's going to be able to do here. So I think there's also that aspect of it. Like, I don't know if Ben is a malcontent. I have no idea. But I know I don't want that in the locker room. And I know Davion is not. So I think there's multiple different things at play. I do like Ben Simmons. Yesterday, you asked what my stance was this on. Kenny asked me the question yesterday. If Monty McNair and Daryl Morey were on the phone right now, and Morey said to Monty McNair, look, like we've got Buddy, we've got Bagley. Right now, Davion gets the deal done. We'll call it into the league right this second. I was like, I don't know if I do it. I sat on it for a day, and I'm not as steadfast and like, I'm just not sure that it wouldn't, like, I feel like Ben Simmons would work perfectly here. And I hope Davion Mitchell works perfectly here. Like, we've been talking about three-guard lineups, Matt, and shoot, now you got a three-guard lineup that has a 6'10 guy versus a 6'1 guy. You know what I mean? The dynamics, the concerns, the rebound, like some of these different things change a little bit. And I do feel like it's all for naught. I don't think he's going to be traded, but I do agree with something that you said, meaning Davion. I don't think there's any trade involving Ben Simmons and the Sacramento Kings. As fun as it has been to talk about and track Ben Simmons' season here, I do agree with something that you just said. We have put a lot of pressure on this young man, it seems like, to be the savior of the Sacramento Kings defense. Like Kenny was like, we're going to be talking about this team if they're just moderately better as the Detroit Pistons from 2004. Hell, let them get in the, then they're 17th. Let them get the 13th. We'll be talking about them like they're the 85 Bears, for God's sakes. They'll be the defense that never dies. And we'll put it all on Davion Mitchell because he seems to be the catalyst, or we're hoping at least that he's the catalyst to change here.
What's crazy though is, and I talked to Jason.
It was a long ass answer. My apologies.
No, it's great. Like what I talked to Jason Ross about this when we were talking about like things that we were buying and selling for next year. And I talked about the possibility of the Kings defensively taking a jump into the top 20. I mean, we're not even talking upper half of the league, pretty close to that. Yep. But like, and Jason and I both agreed, like, this team probably defensively at their peak next year, like everything goes right, this team's cap probably is like 20th or 19th. But 20th or 19th with offensively what the Sacramento Kings were able to do, what is the, like, how many wins does that result in? Because the Kings were so bad defensively and still were in that conversation. I mean, if Davion Mitchell can spur enough of a reaction from Fox and Halliburton and the rest of the team to where they buy into what Luke Walton's defensive philosophy is, if there is one, if they all buy in enough to get this team into 20th defensively, like, is that a 10 game win difference? Is that, I mean, 15 might be a little extreme. Like, it just feels like it doesn't have to be that drastic. I don't think anybody's asking for Davion to turn the Kings into a top 15, top 10, top five defense. It's just have a pulse defensively, because we know offensively they do enough to win basketball games if they have a pulse.
Here's the other thing about Davion and Ben and all this other stuff. There's a lot of pressure on Davion Mitchell to come in here and turn things around. Make no bones about it. Ben Simmons gets traded here. Pressure ain't going away. There's a lot of pressure on Ben Simmons to come in here and change what's going on here. And I'll ask you the question, who do you trust to handle the pressure better, Davion or Ben? My answer is Davion. I believe Davion is built to handle that. Like, I don't think he's afraid of that. I don't think he would shrink in the moment. Their team almost went undefeated at Baylor. They were expected to win a national championship. He excelled in that situation. Ben Simmons, when the expectations have been placed on him in his career, he hasn't answered the bell. I don't think he'd hold up well to that.
Yeah, I think I'm still selecting known commodity. And I hear what you were saying earlier, Tila, like, do we know what Ben Simmons is? That's a great question. Do we know what Ben Simmons would be attitude-wise, player-wise in Sacramento? Like, all extremely valid questions, but I've seen Ben Simmons do it before at the NBA level, and he's still young, and I believe he can do it again versus Davion. I hope he can. Type thing. So I'm taking known over hope if I had a choice. Like if the two guys are in front of me and I have one roster spot left and I can take whoever I want. Sorry, Davion, I'm taking Ben, and just because he's Ben in so many ways is the player that Kings fans have been asking for. Oh, we want this. We want this star. We want this leader defensively. Don't necessarily need offense, but it would be nice. Oh, here's Ben Simmons. No, not that one. Another one. Another one who checks all those boxes. So it's like, I hear both sides. I really do. I'm going to be thrilled with Davion Mitchell as part of the Sacramento Kings, though. I'll make that very clear because, like we've said, I don't think Ben Simmons is going to be a King as fun as it is to entertain. And hey, it got us through the dullest part of the offseason. So thank you, Ben. And thank you, 76ers. And thank you, Rich.
Ben Paul. Simmons season, baby.
SZN. Absolutely, man. The other thing that I'll ask you about as well with this one, Matt, and Matt sees it his way. Other people see it their way. I see it my way. I don't think it's going to change or we're going to convince each other of anything different. I'll just say this. The topic was brought up yesterday about, they say, well, will Davion ever be as good as Ben Simmons is on the defensive end? There's two things with that. Number one, I just keep hearing about the defensive end, If defense is all you're really looking for, just go trade for Thibault at this point. And he's going to be $35 million less than what you're getting for Ben Simmons. The other thing about it is if...
I hate when you say that. Thibault is not as skilled as Ben Simmons. He's not.
No, but he's as skilled defensively as Ben Simmons. And that's all anybody ever talks about.
I don't think he's as skilled defensively as Ben Simmons is. I think he's good defensively. I don't think he's as skilled as Ben Simmons is.
I think he's... But this will go into the second point. Davion, Thibault, if you're getting 80% of what Ben Simmons brings on the defensive end for $30 million cheaper, to me, that's a smarter move.
And I think there's a lot of executives in the league that would agree with you 100%, especially when you have one on this roster now that you don't have to give up an arm and a leg to acquire.
Right, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not even going to go blasphemous to some people and say that Davion or Thibault would be exactly what you're getting with Ben Simmons defensively. I'm not going to disrespect what Ben does on the defensive end. I'm saying if they can give you 80% of what he does for $30 million less.
But maybe this team can't afford 80% of what he does. Maybe they need 100% of what he does. Maybe that's part of the problem with the team.
I don't think they need 100%. The other thing about it is they're like, well, Ben Simmons comes to Sacramento. You're going to the playoffs. I may be alone. I expect them to be in the postseason play-in scenario as is. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, well, you didn't get them. You're not good enough. I disagree. I think this team is good enough to get. I'd be Davion, Halliburton, Fox, all these guys. I'd be disappointed if with this group they weren't in that postseason play at the end of the season. They would have been a failure of a season to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're acquiring Ben Simmons and you still have De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton on this roster, I don't feel like I'm asking for too much to say that this team isn't in the plan, that this team is in the playoffs as in a top six seed. Now I'm okay with that seed being six. I don't necessarily need it for it to be five and up because we're talking about a really significant jump. But I mean, Ben Simmons has been there before for the amount you're paying him, for the kind of star that he is, for what you have to give up to acquire him. You're acquiring him with the basically guarantee that you're a playoff team. And I mean, even if you're a seventh or eighth seed and you host a play-in, okay, that's fun. That's fine, I guess. But that's not good enough to me. Like, I would expect top six seed. And to your point, I don't know if he gives you that right away. I don't. I mean, you have time to gel.
And for the record, six is a significant jump.
Huge, huge jump. But that's like, I think those are the type of expectations you would have in a move like that, acquiring a guy like Ben Simmons. And I will say, too, I want to see the look on Davion Mitchell's face when Luke Walton asks him to just guard for two dribbles.
Oh, my God.
Okay, done. Easy.
If Davion was, what's Davion, 6'1"?
6'1".
I love how people are like, he's 6 feet with shoes on. When is he going to play basketball without shoes? Why does it matter that he's
and that's with Jordans? That ain't even with Nikes. That's with Jordans. If Davion was 6'9", how much higher do you think he would have been drafted?
That was top three pick.
I was watching him at the California Classic, or, you know, even through Summer League. That's something that just kept, like, sitting in my head. He was being raved about. He obviously wins the Summer League MVP. I thought, wow, he fell to the Kings. Like, I know he was a guy we talked about a lot. He was on the national stage. This is really about him being 6'1".
If he was the age a little bit, maybe there, the age a little bit, but mostly height.
If he was I think there'd be an emphatic no, and maybe there already is for the record, but there'd be an emphatic no about a Ben Simmons, Davion Mitchell involved trade if Davion Mitchell was 6. That's part of the reason that opens the door, because yeah, you look at some of the, you know, what, like we were talking about earlier, the concerns with the 3-guard lineup, some of those are alleviated if the third guard is 6'10 versus 6'1, or, you know, even in Buddy's case, 6'4. And I've stopped the program there with that thought. Matt, we got to let you rock, man. I know you got things to do. We appreciate you jumping on with us last minute. We're really thrilled that you didn't die. That was a big relief for all of us. It was definitely a close call, but we're thankful that you pushed through and you didn't die here on the program, man. That's good.
I just get emotional every time I have the opportunity to speak to the two of you and talk Kings basketball with you. And D'Lo, we didn't even get to talk about Iman Shumpert, because I heard what you were saying at the top of the show too about how meaningful Iman was to that team. And I've always been a little hesitant with how much credit I gave Iman Shumpert and how good the Sacramento Kings team was if Iman was that important. But hey, man, he killed it on Dancing with the Stars, which was fun to see. So I'm enjoying Shumpert.
So we're going with Iman versus Iman?
It's Iman. It's Iman, man.
Sorry, Iman. Sure.
You kept repeating. I was like, is Matt trying to make a point here with this? Is this like when the WWF changed to WWE and they just kept saying it over and over and over again to drive home the point? I feel like that's what Matt was just doing. He was like, you've been wrong all this time. His name is Iman Shumpert, not Iman Shumpert. And I think that was Matt's quiet way of calling me an idiot.
No, I honestly, I don't know if I've ever called him Iman, period. And I don't know if I've ever asked or thought about it.
Okay.
Like, I've always read it as Iman in my head, and I think I've always said it. I probably said it to his face. I'm amazed he didn't correct me. Yeah. Iman. Yeah, that does sound stupid, doesn't it?
It doesn't sound stupid. I just don't think that. I think it's Iman Shumpert.
Iman.
Yeah, Iman. All right.
And he's the most beloved king of all time. Pound for pound, as my partner would say.
Pound for pound.
Ratio-wise, the most beloved of all time. Again, Matt, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for jumping on with us last minute. Thanks for not dying. And we'll connect again, man. We're going to start doing this weekly. Thanks, buddy.
You guys are the best. Can't wait.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.